Pardon me?
Oh, geez, Bruce. I should leave that in there.
Okay.
I just turned on the... I'm going to leave that in there because that was a fitting commentary, Bruce.
My compliments to the chef.
Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples. I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy, and the occasion is a discussion of the Edmonton Oilers' 7-0 loss to the San Jose Sharks in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The series now tied 2-2. Bruce, what did you think of the Oilers' play tonight?
Well, I think that opening belch kind of captured my true feelings from the depth of my soul in that particular performance. Wow. Shit show. Man, oh man. Just a brutal, brutal, brutal performance. The worst loss in the playoff history of the Oilers. And honestly, I'd be hard-pressed to find a worse performance. I've seen every playoff game the Oilers have ever played. And honestly, that was way, way down there.
Nothing comes to my
just
mind.
Just ugly.
I think it was actually like not only belch-worthy, but like 8 fart-worthy. It needs to be flushed down the toilet. You know what struck me, Bruce, is there were, even though the first period was the play, and in a lot of ways the scoring chances were 6-6, even though the play was fairly even in the first period, the Oilers did not hit at all. There was not one big hit thrown the entire game, and I was thinking, oh, this is trouble. You know, the biggest hit was by Pouliot. He actually got a pretty good one, but the Oilers just did not come out. They were not sharp in any way, and, you know, and then they just got it taken to them by a San Jose team that was, you know, clearly hungrier for the victory, as they say. One of the things I noticed, so tracking chances, it was 18 to 11 in total for the Sharks, 8 to 5 in grade A chances. So that's not a huge disparity in chances. But the Sharks scored 4 goals, Bruce, on grade B scoring chances. So that's outside the inner slot. Cam Talbot, not his best game. Those 2 power play goals, Couture, and who was the other one that came from kind of, oh, Marlowe. I thought he could have had both of those, and on a better night, he would have.
Yeah, well, he came out fighting right off the bat. You know, he froze the puck for an unnecessary face-off 10 seconds into the game. And they lose that face-off, bam, it's in the net, and things started going wrong after that. Talbot, I mean, to point the finger there momentarily, and I got plenty of fingers and toes, and I'm going to need them all to point tonight. 20 guys played. At least technically. But Talbot was fighting the puck, man. He couldn't catch anything. It would hit his glove and sprawling out. His rebound control is as bad as I've seen it, and that caused a lot of the problems for sure. I don't know how many goals were scored on rebounds, but a lot of the sort of high-danger plays involved rebounds.
I don't know if you can hear this banging around the background. I have a cat that's chasing a toy around the floor right now. And it's showing more life than the Oilers did in that game.
Yeah, the toy is probably playing the role of the Oilers, I would
imagine. Yeah, that's right. Hey, let's do something a little different tonight. Let's go through Twitter comments right after the game from Sharks and Oilers fans and from media people. The first one is from, it's on the Draisaitl, the nut job, by the nut job in that particular instance.
What was he thinking?
Yeah, what was he thinking? You know what? I was hoping that with the game out of hand that the Oilers would start running the Sharks, but that's not how you do it. Like, you start to go after them physically.
Take the body to them. Yeah. Take the body to them. You don't just start taking petulant penalties like that.
So, Mark Spector at Sportsnet Spec wrote, Tierney is back playing. Draisaitl will get the game misconduct. Not that anyone can predict, but at NHL player safety. Not that anyone can predict at NHL player safety, but I doubt a suspension. And then Kevin Kurtz, who covers the Sharks for NBC in San Jose, said, I tend to think the same. We heard the same, I think, from Elliot Friedman and I think other members of the Hockey Night in Canada panel.
Kiprios said it right off the top, Kiprios. But who knows? I mean, they use the NHL employees. You know, they have a supplier. You remember the Magic 8-Ball? from the 1960s where you ask the eight ball a question and you turn it over and the answer would float up to the surface. And it would. And the NHL has a bunch of these, and they use them for video reviews, especially offside challenges, and also for determining whether play is suspension worthy or not, because I mean that makes as much sense to me as to any kind of logic or consistency.
Don't you think that, isn't it Chris Pronger who's in charge now? Doesn't he strike you as more of a Ouija board kind of guy? You know, kind of something a little dark, something a little darker.
The hen house? Yeah.
Something a little darker, like a Ouija board.
Second in command, Matt Cook, thought that was just a fine play by Leon Draisaitl.
Did you kid me? He's not second in command. I might have missed that. I focus on the Oilers so much, I miss a lot of the other stuff in the NHL.
Well, our
old friend Jonathan Willis tweeted out, "I'd like to see Leon Draisaitl suspended. Fortunately for the Oilers, this is the NHL playoffs. See Calvert, Matt, one game suspension." So Calvert went headhunting right on a player, nasty headshot, and he only got the one game. So I think. And on this case, like, you know, in a perfect world where they always gave what was due for a suspension, yes, Draisaitl should miss a game. But with the precedent of how the NHL calls these things, I think that the Friedman, Spector, and all the other league insiders know what they're talking about here, and there won't be a suspension.
I hope he gets fined because he deserves it. That was just stupid.
He sure. So what did you think? Draisaitl has not been playing well this series, and he had another weak game. Got the best of him.
I'm very worried. I my spidey sense has been tingling on him. On game three, he took a nasty tumble into the end boards in the third period. He went kind of ass over tea kettle. He tried to hit a guy, and the guy ducked, and Leon went. First of all, he hit his shoulder into the boards. Then he hit the back of his helmet. And I was a little bit concerned. And then the word from Ryan Rashog out there in San Jose was that Draisaitl missed both the optional skates yesterday and today. And he said it's not uncommon for a player to miss one, but to miss two is extremely rare. And then further, he said he hasn't seen Draisaitl around much. And that had me wondering if he was sleeping it off.
Maybe he's sick.
But yeah, well, maybe. He played. He played poorly. He was turning the puck over. And then he did that thing, which, I mean, we have to agree here that was completely out of character for this player. Like, we've never seen him do anything like that.
He hardly takes a penalty. I mean, yeah, let alone a nasty one. I mean, he has been hitting in this series. So let's go to the Sharks fans now, Bruce, who are in a pretty good
mood. I'm sure they're gloating.
Here's from Teriyaki at Teriyaki 240. He wrote, "Like standing and pouring rain because I have a thick head of hair. Tonight's San Jose Sharks 7-0 win in Game 4 felt oh so good." Here's from Adam Kadure. "Fitting the San Jose Sharks score a touchdown's worth of goals the night that Jerry Rice opens the door." From Mandy Wesselon. "Best period hockey period game period ever period." So they're feeling it. They're feeling
it. Best hockey game ever?
Best hockey game ever.
I've got trouble with that one. Best hockey games I've ever seen involve two teams both playing well. And you can't say that was the case in this one. This was game two in reverse, you know. In game two, Oilers had to win. San Jose already got their split on the road. The Oilers came out, and they just took it to San Jose for 60 minutes. They only won 2-0, but they dominated the game.
Yeah.
Tonight it was the same thing in reverse. San Jose came out and the puck started going in the net for them right away, and it just, as you know, went from bad to worse. But here's a question for you. If you're going to play a doubleheader and one of the games is 1-0 for one team and the other game is 7-0 for the other team, which side of that do you want to be on?
I don't want to say I like the Oilers' position, because every time I said the Oilers have an advantage and have a long list of things, you know, that are in the Oilers' favor, they get whipped. But losing 7-0 feels like hell. It just feels terrible. And that's the kind of motivation that I like to have for my team to have. Because I do think these teams are fairly evenly matched. And I'm okay getting whipped like that. Get it out of your system. Everyone feels absolutely terrible on that team. So that's good because that's plenty of motivation.
If I had told you on Monday that they were going to score one goal in San Jose and allow seven, you would have said, okay, we're going to come home trailing 3-1. Right? There's only one way that that doesn't happen, and that's somehow you eke out a 1-0 win and then get shellacked. So, the bright side, the glass half full side, is the Oilers have been 7-3 in the last three games, and they won two of the three games. So it doesn't matter the score line. They don't keep the scores. Like, they don't keep total goals from the series. They just keep wins.
I like your good use of mathematics there, Bruce. I like that. let's go to the Oilers fans on Twitter. So first we have at Rel Turner, and I'm just going to use their Twitter names because everyone's changing their names constantly. I don't like that. Just use your real name and then stick with it. How about that? But anyway, that's me.
Bruce McCurdy.
Me being a grump. You were McCurvy for a while there.
A little while, yeah.
Yeah, a whole year.
I played with that.
Okay. I think I might have been for 5 minutes, and then I thought, oh, God, this is... All right. From at Rel Turner, just when the word was dying down, it comes back with a vengeance, experience. And I was thinking the same thing. This was the first game that I really thought experience played a role in that. The Sharks, they know how to push the rules to the limit. This is team interference. They are constantly running pick plays in the offensive end. And on the Sharks' fourth goal, Bruce, I counted three pick plays. And one of them by Joel Ward in the corner totally took, I think it was Klefbom. He could have made a play on the puck, totally took him out. Should have been a penalty, of course, wasn't called. Darnell Nurse was out there, and... they took his stick out of the play, so he couldn't make the play. And then another one was just a really good a pick play, you know, that where two players have the same claim on the space and they ran it.
Right.
And mm-hmm. those plays were instrumental in that goal being scored, the fourth goal.
Red Wings hockey.
Age and treachery, man. And it came through for the Sharks tonight. You know, that is a very clever way to play hockey. It hardly ever gets called. And it works very well.
Well, Joe Pavelski, I mean, good Lord, he had, 3 points, and I think he drew a hat trick of penalties as well. and not one of them did anybody even take a piece out of the guy. You know, it wasn't like they were getting their pound of flesh. It was like these very sort of borderline, and Pavelski would go down, and the ref's hand would go up, and my head would shake. And
McDavid, San Jose
would score on the power play. That penalty by McDavid was dumb.
That was his worst moment of the year, man. Like reaching in on Pavelski like that.
Neutral zone, already down a man, down 2 goals.
Like
they started to work themselves back in the game, but when it got to 3-0, that was it.
They had a chance to win that game. I was still thinking. I actually thought after the first they could come back and win this game. I saw every indication that they could do that, and then that play. That sunk them.
The whole second period was brutal after that.
So the next three tweets are of a piece. I'll just read them all at once, Bruce. They capture some of the despair. And from it, starting out with our old friend at Oil Chemist.
Oh, despair is his middle name.
Oilers back to becoming to the NHL joke for 48 hours. Then we have from at J.R. McCrank. It's easy to go forget this game, and now it's a best of three, and we've got two home games. But momentum is very real. And the third tweet comes from Robert Burgess at Burgess14. Can you tell the bandwagoners to settle down? It's one game. So that's his response to the doomsayers. And I see no reason to be despairing at all after that game. I mean, this is hockey. This happens to every hockey team where there's really flat moments and it just all came together in one big flat fart of a game. So,
yeah, I'm not despairing, but I'm going to pummel them on the game grades. I mean, this one night they were brutal. They came out playing with house money. You know, we got our win here. We got the lead in the series, and it was like a long night at Vegas where every dollar they made, they pissed it away at the in the slots just as fast as they could.
Is anyone going to get a pass, Mark?
I said to my wife already, I'm thinking that it's a team fail. And I honestly can't think of anybody who sort of swam against the current and put in, you know, a gritty, hard-working show. I mean, marginally at best.
So, yeah, like the average mark has to be probably – the average mark has to be like three, probably poor. Average mark three.
Well, it was a pretty poor showing, now, wasn't
it? Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't sugarcoat it very much. I mean, I can talk all I want about how it's only one game, but I'm going to be grading that one game.
Okay,
so
here,
look out below.
Here is from at SLS Hockey Fan.
Oh, yes, Sean.
McDavid can't be without points much longer, right? Question mark. Right, he can't. But man, he got taken to the cleaners tonight. He got his inexperience came through. We've seen Crosby early in his career, right? Have these frustrating games where he lost it. That was his Crosby moment. So
he had a pretty good second half of the first period, McDavid, and then that penalty happened. And you know, he only played 16 minutes tonight, and McClellan really. I mean, obviously, there wasn't much reason to do much more than roll the lines in the third, but I don't even think he got his regular shift.
It was a shame that the game got off to such a... You know, San Jose has been throwing the puck at the net all series long. That's their big play, actually, other than the pick play down low. Is and they usually often try to set up the point shot with a pick play. Get it to the point, fire it at net, hope for a rebound or deflection. It finally worked, and worked 15 seconds into the game. So that, you know, that is going to happen. It's too bad. We never got a chance to see, I don't really think, if these new line combinations were going to work. And I don't think we're going to see them again. I suspect we'll go back to the old ones. But which is, I kind of liked them, but didn't work. Got to go back to what works, so.
Two sick deflections by Pavelski. Credit where due. I mean, that guy's phenomenal at tipping the puck, and both of those were unstoppable.
Yeah, he's got
the first goal and the sixth. I think it was the sixth goal from the side of the crease there.
Oh yeah, that first goal. At first I thought it went in off Larson. Like I couldn't figure out how the heck it went in, and you know, obviously went in by off Pavelski. Okay, here's from at Scott Penny, Oilers positives. Back to that. The decade of darkness is over, my friends. Okay, number one, road whites are some of the nicest whites in the league. Number two, goal differential doesn't matter. Three. And number three, no one got hurt. And yeah, that was the only real positive, is no one got hurt, hopefully. Okay, here from at R Crouch H. Just saw someone say this was the worst game they have ever seen the Oilers play. Clearly, they're new to the party and missed 10 years. All right.
Well, record loss for a margin of defeat for a playoff game.
Yeah, well, you said it's the worst playoff game you've ever seen. I don't have the sharp memory for Oilers history.
Well, it's the worst margin of defeat. They lost a pair of 8-2 games to the Islanders and the Blackhawks in the 80s and the 90s.
Hey, what about the Kings? That Kings loss, the Miracle on Manchester?
Yeah.
That's got to be worse than this, Bruce.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they it was only one bad period, but holy moly, was that ever horrible.
It's a big night for me.
Don't remind me.
It's a big night for me, because not often will I best you on a point of history, because that's your area, man. All right, at Tunk Funk, Oilers need offensive players to wake up, plain and simple. And
five goals in four games. Yeah. Yes, they have to wake the hell up.
And although I've liked Eberle, Nugent, Luch, they've got to score. They've got to do more than just play okay. I mean, this was their weakest game. I thought they were actually probably, again, maybe the best line. But, yeah, Draisaitl and McDavid, they've got to find a way. And they almost did. They came close a couple times. I mean, McDavid set up Larson, right? Hit the post.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it the other? And then was it the other way around too? Larson passed it over
Larson
to
set
McDavid,
up McDavid and
then Nugent Hopkins, man, like that old wide open net on the power play. Oh, he didn't even hit the net anyway. Okay, from at Oilerland. Oilers need to start embellishing and throw their heads back more. Refs are blind. Yay or thumbs up or thumbs down, Bruce?
Well, I didn't like some of the calls, but I also thought the Oilers got away with a little bit. There was a high stick there, I think Kajula on, was it Pavelski? There was an elbow by McDavid on Kucher that was a bit dirty. McDavid cross-checked a guy when he was down, and I thought maybe they might call that one. And they let those go, and then they called that garbage, I thought, back-checking penalty on Cassian, where they call him for delay of game, which just...
That was a really tough penalty, because it was, you know...
Five seconds left in the period, down. They're trying to get to the dressing room, down 2-0.
And then that's when McDavid takes the penalty, right?
Yes,
killing that penalty, and there's the game. But you know what? If the Oilers, they weren't hitting, their game, I think, flows out of hitting, out of being aggressive. And, you know, I talked about the pick plays of the San Jose Sharks. Well, if you're right on those guys, and if you're fighting, what they say in basketball is fight through the pick. Just blow through it. Like, don't let them pick you. And that's what That you get picked when you're not on your man. And the Oilers got to get on their man a little bit more. Here was my favorite tweet of the night from Keith Henderson at Great Keith. Just one of those games where everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
What's his name, Murphy?
Keith Henderson at Great Keith.
Okay. Henderson's Law. Yeah, it was that kind of night where it was just endurance tests. I mean, we were halfway through the second period, and I was saying to my wife, you know, I got to watch the second half of this game, and then I got to stay up late and write about it. And I'm not happy about any of this, but this is just hanging in, taking one for the team, kind of.
Murphy's Law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Right. Yep, well, that's what happened tonight.
Yeah, Henderson's Law. Yeah, and you know, the fun part of it is, Bruce, as we both know, when we write these game grades and it's a loss, like, you get half the readers, too. Like, everyone just tunes out and everyone's bitter. No one wants to pay any attention.
Maybe I should write half as many words this time. Yeah. I'm not feeling expansive.
All right, here we go with the final tweet of the night. And it's from the Edmonton Oilers organization, and they're quoting Connor McDavid. And
this better be good.
He says, "You just scrap it. We were bad tonight, obviously. That's not our team, not our game. It's a one-off." So
better be.
Yeah. Hey, that's a fair comment in his part. How many?
No, well, he's got to say that. I mean, he's got no option but to say that.
Yeah, really. But it's also the truth. I mean, I don't want to let him off the hook, but no, how many times have we seen games like this year, Bruce? Five, maybe, you know?
I'm not sure.
We saw about 30 games a year.
Oh, yeah.
Similar to this. You know, the score makes this game look worse than it was, the bad, weak goaltending, but... Where the edge in play was like this, we used to see 30, 40 games a year like this. And this year we probably saw 5 to 10 where they just really, really were bad. So, yeah, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. All right. Well, any other parting thoughts, parting shots, parting burps that you...
Parting sharts.
Parting farts. All right. Descend into that, man. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a whole lot good to say. You know, my mom told me when you don't have anything good to say, well, don't say it. But just so precious little went right and so precious little pushback. I mean, that's what I'm more sort of not displeased about than anything. I mean, you could tell the game was lost, so go and establish something. But it was just like they mailed it in. The shots on net in the third period were 6-3.
Yeah,
and that was with a bunch of power plays, right?
Yeah, not to be. All right, well, thanks, Bruce, and thanks for everyone for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and in the meantime and in between time, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast. See you after Game 5. Hope it's better.
Gotta be.